The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The world changes for 1 month, starting right after Thanksgiving and lasting through December 25th. The world rejoices at the coming of Christmas. It's a time that some refer to as Advent. The earliest Advent was in Rome, December 25th, 336 AD. The word comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming or arrival of Christ. Advent celebrates the first and second coming of Jesus. Starting late October, mid-November, department stores, malls, banks, restaurants begin decorating with trees and twinkling lights, festive decorations and displays. The world gets caught up in the laughter and festivities of the Christmas holiday without completely understanding why they're celebrating. 85% of Americans polled say they participate in the Christmas holidays. There's generally a feeling of goodwill and happiness that spreads around our nation and around the world. Christmas is even celebrated in Japan. Now, in Japan, most people are Buddhists or Shintoists. In fact, less than 1% of Japan's population profess to be Christian. But Christmas is celebrated with lighted trees and Santa Claus. And Christmas Eve is Japan's most romantic day when couples exchange gifts. Christmas is growing in China. It's not an official holiday. Christmas traditions are increasingly celebrated as an event. And there in China, large shopping malls have Christmas tree lighting ceremonies. Clerks will wear Santa hats and red and green outfits. And the Chinese celebrate without even knowing the reason for the season. Christmas is celebrated in Islamic countries like Iran. It's celebrated by the Jewish nation of Israel, and you know that most Jews don't consider Jesus as Messiah. Christmas is the largest economic stimulus in the world. It increases retail sales dramatically. In fact, it saves a lot of businesses from ruin. The world stops its rush with a hush on December 25th. A holy hush settles in and the world goes silent. And stores, the U.S. mail, banks, schools, government offices, New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, most businesses close. The world just senses there's something special about Christmas, even though they may not understand the whole story. We've been in Hebrews, and we'll continue. In Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, it describes this world-changing event that begins with the birth of Jesus. It's celebrated worldwide on December 25th. And we're in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, where God's plan for mankind is revealed in just a couple of verses. And I don't know if you're like me, but you may never have heard this kind of stuff that we're about to look at. In a nutshell, God made man special in the beginning. He made man in his image. He didn't do that for angels. And it says that in Hebrews chapter 1. But he personally breathed his breath into our lungs. He calls us his sons and daughters. He doesn't do that for angels. He put man in charge over everything. Mankind's sin. He was removed from the highest position that God created. And all of mankind inherited Adam's fallen nature. They then worked in toil and received an eventual death sentence. What's amazing is God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Hebrews 1 established Jesus' credentials, his authority. Jesus came as a man, but he identified himself as the Son of God. Hebrews 1 says he made the universe, the earth, and all things, that he's sitting on a throne in heaven. He's superior to all angels. But Hebrews 2 gets to the main point of Hebrews 1. Jesus came to reinstate mankind's rule and authority that God created us to have. As a man, Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection restores the glory that Adam and Eve forfeited when they sinned. Jesus broke the power of Satan that's been going on since the fall, and he turns death on its head. He brings back eternal life and a close relationship with God that God had planned in the very beginning. We can start over. We can be redeemed. We can turn failure into victory and actually turn time back and reset the world to what God originally planned for us. That's Hebrews chapter 2. God became man to restore mankind's destiny. In the beginning, you've heard those words. God didn't give the right to govern the earth to angel kind. He gave it to mankind. And God created humans to manage everything that he's created. The Bible says it, like in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, birds in the sky, livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, birds of the sky, and all the mammals that scurry along the ground." In the beginning, humans ruled, they reigned, they have dominion over, complete authority over, power over. They were the masters, and God brought everything under the control of mankind. We learn in Genesis 1 that animals aren't made in God's image, man is. Angels aren't made in the image of God, man is. And God personally blew the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. Breath or wind, ruah, is the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit. Eve was created from Adam, not like animals that were created from the ground. And God spoke to Adam and Eve on a regular basis. They had direct access to him whenever they wanted. Adam was given authority to name all the animals and rule over them. And I speculate something that isn't in the Bible, but maybe animals spoke back then because Adam and Eve weren't surprised at all when the serpent talked to them. God created us to live forever like himself, but then everything changed. Excuse me. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God's authority, mankind was removed from being in charge, having direct access to God. A death sentence was imposed. Sin broke our close relationship to God. And immediately after disobeying, Adam and Eve went into hiding. Sin, that's anything we say, do, or think that breaks God's law or makes God mad. Angels, though, maintained their rank and responsibility, and mankind was relieved of command. Angels were commissioned by God to continue to do his bidding. But here's what the writer of Hebrews said in the second chapter, verse 5. It's not angels who will control the future world we're talking about. The future world will not be controlled by angels. Another translation said, he has not placed the angels as rulers over the new world to come. But for now, angels are in direct authority under God. They can see his face. They can verse with God as mankind once did. And their job, what is angels? It says in Hebrews 1, they're spirits sent to serve those who are going to receive salvation. We are going to receive salvation. Everything in the book of Hebrews will prove Jesus' authority over all things. Chapter 1 said the Son is far greater than the angels. How much more excellent than theirs is the name which he possesses. God's authority was never in dispute. But God became man, part of the fallen race, and when he did so, everything shifted. Jesus came as a man to reestablish mankind's authority over the earth and over angels. And Jesus became like a new Adam. The Apostle Paul explained it to Christians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. It says, death came into the world because of what one man, Adam, did. It's because of what this other man, Christ, has done that there's now resurrection from the dead. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, being members of a sinful race. Whenever there is sin, death results. But all who are related to Christ will rise again. The first man, Adam, was given a natural human body, but Christ is more than that. He's a life-giving spirit. Adam was made from the dust of the earth, but Christ came from heaven above. And to prove God's original intention for man, the writer of Hebrews continues, verse 6, chapter 2, the scripture testifies and says, what is man that you remember him, and the son of man that you care for him? And that comes out of the book of Psalms. There's two places in Psalms that say the same thing. O Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them? Mere mortals that you should think about them. And in Psalm 8, verse 3, when I look at the sky which you've made, at the moon and stars which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them? Mere mortals that you care for them? Yet you made them inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honor. You appointed them rulers over everything you made. You placed them over all creation. When I read this, looking to the skies, I remember an old story you probably have heard of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson on a camping trip. After dinner, they laid down and went to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes woke up and nudged his faithful friend. Watson, look up the sky. Tell me what you see. And Watson said, I see millions of stars. What does that tell you? He asked. And Watson says, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies, potentially billions of planets. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful, that we are small and insignificant. What does it tell you, Holmes? Holmes was silent for a moment and said, Watson, someone has stolen our tent. And we look up from the earth and we see the sky. And we should ask, what is man? And we look down from satellites and we see this great big blue globe. And we might ask again, what is man? We're so small compared to everything that's created. We're tiny and frail, but he cares for us more than anything else. The Message translation says, what is man and woman that you bother with them? Why take a second look their way? But instead of trying to find out what is man, maybe man should try to find out who is God.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
What is man's current place in God's creation? Verse 7, for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels. Now we're not lower in value or worth to God. We're just lower in abilities. You know, there are many people, and you probably have relatives or heard stories of those who have died. Their heart stopped beating, clinically dead, but they're revived later, and they have stories where they say they immediately fly. They're not even surprised. They travel through walls, visit different places. They're pain-free. They see and hear what was all around them the whole time, and they feel the love of God. Many see a shining light, and very few say they want to return to that body laying on the table. God's people will someday regain control over the new earth, and that's when God's original plan will put us back where we belong. Verse 7, after Adam and Eve sinned, God made us lower than angels for a while. Yet you've crowned us with glory and honor. That was God's original design. Someday, we're going to be given new bodies. He'll bring mankind full circle back to the plan that he had in the beginning What a day of celebration that will be, and it reminded me of a scene out of a movie.
There's a plan in everything, kid. And I love it when a plan comes together.
Don't you love it when God's plans come together for us? But then, mankind listened to Satan. They did what they wanted. I heard that Adam told his sons, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." Not really. But paradise was lost for mankind. And every moment of every day, we get to take tests like Adam and Eve and decide, is it going to be my will or God's will to be done? And God's going to respond accordingly. God created us to exercise his authority in the beginning. Verse 8, you gave them authority over all things. You put everything under his control. You put all things in subjection under his feet. Well, that was then. And now is now. Verse 8, God made them rulers over all things. This clearly includes everything. We do not, however, see human beings ruling over all things now. Someday mankind will rule again, not all, but those who have accepted Christ and those who have obeyed him, they'll be again reinstated to God's original status. Here's what we see and what we don't see. Hebrews 2, verse 8, we've not yet seen all this take place, but we do see Jesus. He came so that our position with God could be restored. There's a slang term, do-over. I looked it up. It was first used in 1912. It's defined by the dictionary as a new attempt or opportunity to do something after a previous attempt has been unsuccessful or unsatisfactory. Kids will ask for a do-over. And they'll do that when things didn't work out. And if they were unsuccessful in previous attempts and they do the do-over and succeed, it's like the previous failures never existed. Do-overs are given grace. It's a free pass to make something right after they've made a mistake or committed a wrong. Someone compared a do-over to a get-out-of-jail-free card. Do-over, I thought about a test I took in college, and in that test, 100% of the class failed. But by the grace of the teacher, we were all given a do-over. We could retake the test the next day. God had big plans for people in the beginning, but they rejected him. So he came back with another plan to begin again, to do-over through Jesus Christ. God came as a man, perfectly passed the test that all of us failed. And because mankind sinned, people dropped down a little lower than the angels. That wasn't the original plan. They lost the leadership role that God had originally designed. And because of sin, man died. Jesus died to restore us to God. Verse 9, what we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. Because he suffered death for us, he's now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. He took our test and passed it for us. And that means God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see, and he'll make a way for you and me. He will be our guide, hold us closely to his side, and with love and strength for each new day, he'll make a way. Jesus fixed what was broken by mankind. And what Adam threw away in the Garden of Eden, Jesus regained on the hill of Calvary. We're going to talk about that next week. God warned Adam in Genesis 2:17, you must never eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you eat from it, you'll certainly die. Adam became the author of death. Jesus is the author of life. Romans 5, Paul told Christians, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. Death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. You might say Christ marched into our hell for his heavenly cause. Isaiah described Jesus perfectly in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins, beaten so that we could be whole, was whipped so that we could be healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was arrested, taken away and judged. Who would have thought that he would be removed from the world? He was killed because of my people's rebellion, placed in a tomb with the wicked, put there with the rich when he died. The Lord has made his life a sacrifice for our wrongdoings. Because of his suffering, my righteous servant will acquit many people. Paul spoke about the future, and he said to Christians in Corinth, don't you know that we will judge angels, not to mention the things in this life? So for a little while, Jesus was given a position lower than the angels. You remember Hebrews chapter 1, it says completely, clearly, Jesus created all the angels. But when he became a man, his position was lower than the angels for a short time. Philippians 2:7 says he gave up his divine privileges, took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Romans 5:17, death ruled like a king because Adam had sinned, but that can't compare with what Jesus Christ has done. God has treated us with undeserved grace. He's accepted us because of Jesus, so we will live and rule like kings. Matthew 24:34, Jesus said, the king will say to those on his right, my Father has blessed you. Come, receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. We celebrate Christmas because that's when God began restoring man to the relationship and position that we were created to enjoy. But the writer of Hebrews says there's only one way back to God. Verse 10, it was only right that God, who creates and preserves all things, should make Jesus perfect through suffering in order to bring many children to share his glory. Jesus is the one who leads them to salvation. He purifies people from their sins. Both he and those who are made pure all have the same Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his family. He says to God, I'll tell my people what you've done. I'll praise you in their meeting. He says, I'll put my trust in God, and says, here I am with the children God has given me. There's a term that the writer gives to Jesus. It's in Greek, akagos. It means Jesus is the founder, the leader, originator, author, and captain of our salvation. It says here that Jesus was made perfect through suffering, but Jesus was already perfect. But he had a perfect death that could save all of mankind. Perfect actually means complete. And on the cross, again, next week is Easter. He says it is finished. It's also translated complete or completed. And Hebrews 12 says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or completer of our faith. Those who are far away from God can join the family. Verse 12, we who have been made holy by Jesus now have the same Father he has. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. He says in the book of Psalms, I'll talk to my brothers about God, my Father. Together we will sing his praises. He said, I'll put my trust in God along with my brothers. He said, see, here am I and the children God gave me. You know, before the cross, Jesus never once called his followers brothers. In fact, the first time that Jesus used that term was after he'd risen from the dead. John 20, verse 17, Jesus said, don't hold on to me. I've not yet gone back up to the Father. Go to my brothers. Tell them I'm returning to him who is my Father, their Father, my God, and their God. And aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, join us with Jesus as we travel this side. Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Amen. And Jesus broke the permanent power of death that has been over us ever since the beginning.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.